What's going on, everybody? It's Sunday, May 12th, 2024. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Austin Shepherd, the Shep in the house. He's wishing Mama Wayne a happy Mother's Day.
She's a special mama.
I love it. That is perfect. That is perfect. I'm glad I didn't see that caption before we started. That was fantastic.
I came in a little late, so I didn't give you any warning. So
I like it. Yeah. Two-man crew tonight, because not only is it Mother's Day, it is also Logan Zartman, the son of our co-host Paul Zartman. It's his 12th birthday. Logan's a huge fan of KOP. Happy birthday, Logan. And like always, respect your EVPs, because I know you don't, but you need to. So Paul's off the hook tonight. He's celebrating with Logan, so it's all good. So, Shep, I guess I got to lead off with the question since Paul's not here to do so.
He's not here.
What are we drinking tonight?
Well, I'm going to have a very, very special. No, it's normal. Vodka and soda tonight. I almost made some, is it Oosie juice?
Oosie juice.
But I had everything in the house but cranberry, I think it was. And being Mother's Day today, we had a big shindig here, and I just couldn't make it to the store to get some cranberry juice. So I don't know if anybody saw on some social media throughout the weekend, some of the WWE live events have Oosie juice, which is vodka, some rum, lemonade, cranberry, and pineapple juice, maybe?
Oh, look it up. It is single prop rum, white rum, vodka, lemonade, cranberry juice, and fruit punch.
So I thought about making one of those, and as soon as I thought about making it, I got a stomach ache. Because I just feel like that's a lot of sugar.
A lot of sugar.
Looked at me, I'm in prime health, so I can't have that much sugar.
Probably smart. But
yeah. One of these days we're gonna have some Oosie juice. I just didn't have the right ingredients today.
I'll tag in for that one. That sounds pretty good to me, even though it is very sugary. Steven Chambers in the house on YouTube. What's up, guys? Hey, Steven, thanks for tuning in. Buddy Pluggo of the Between Two Beards show on YouTube. Hello, boys. I was co-hosting with Pluggo on that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How did he get that nickname, Pluggo?
That's a great question. Pluggo, chime in there. But you know, Sue, Trent's mom, calls him Pluggo. Instead of Pluggo. So
okay. Maybe that has something to do with that. I don't know.
Steven Chambers, which tastes better, Ric Flair energy drink or Prime? Never tried them both. I like Prime better.
I've never had Prime because everything says it has cyanide in it. But after drinking the Ric Flair energy drink, I'm pretty sure there's some cyanide in that shit too. So
I've had the Prime hydration drink, not the energy drink. I'm not a big energy drink guy.
So I'll be quite honest with you. I'm not a Jake Paul, Logan Paul fan.
Yep.
So when I found out he was, you know, the owner of Prime, I tend to stay away from it. And I look at like you see this guy behind me here, this number two Chevrolet accessory thing. That was a Kyle Larson, a sprint car wing. Kyle Larson is a Prime athlete now.
So is Cody Rhodes.
I still ain't drinking this stuff, though, man.
And he and Logan are going against each other. That's King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring.
That is true. So, I mean, I see that, and I've seen it in some convenience stores or in our area, and I just can't get myself to buy it. I really can't.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Maj is breaking out the crown Blackberry.
So funny. I got a funny story, Majin. So we're in a small town. Crown Blackberry is like, you know, the new hottest thing. So the two liquor stores in town here, they got a couple bottles, and it's a $29.95 bottle, right? $29.95 United States currency. This dumbass that owns the liquor store by where I work, he put $119 a bottle. And I looked at, like, I went in one night. I got my normal Kettle One vodka, even though they don't sponsor us, can't tag them. Bunch of fucktards. I shouldn't say that. Sorry. That's me.
There we are. First explicit of the night. Took longer than I thought it would.
Anyways. I walked up to there and they had this bottle of Blackberry Crown. I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll try it. You're supposed to put Blackberry Crown lemonade. That's like the new hot drink. He put a $119 sticker on it. I said, you are the biggest idiot in the world. He spoke at me in
a different language.
Different language. Yes, that's all I'm going to say. Yep. And yep. I paid my money and I walked out and called him a dipshit. Ever since.
Well, Steffi agrees. She said he's a dumbass. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Majin says, of course, I like Prime because I'm a WWE guy. I don't know about that.
How much cyanide you putting in your body there, Majin? Just
saying. Pluggo, hopefully for Logan's birthday, he got some respect for our EVPs. Yes, I'm hoping so too.
That's okay.
Steven Chambers, I hope Mike Tyson knocks out Jake Paul next month. Me too. I don't think he will, though.
I don't think he will.
A scripted exhibition.
It's going to be a more professional wrestling than professional boxing. How about that?
And Steffi looks like she has no AC. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. Steffi, aren't you in Canada, though?
No, she's in North Carolina. Remember?
North Carolina? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That sucks. I was like... I turned my little AC unit in this little building I have here. I got a little wall unit. Man, I fired it up today, and it's about 68 degrees in here, and it's perfect.
That's perfect.
I don't even have the fan going. Normally, because you see the fan blades going, I don't even have it going tonight.
Don't need it tonight.
No.
No, it's been a nice weekend in Indiana, I would say, weather-wise. So, yep. But we have a lot to discuss when it comes to All Elite Wrestling this week. Of course, Dynamite on Wednesday. Then we had a back-to-back Collision and Rampage last night. Are they doing that next week? I don't think I saw where Rampage is following Dynamite or Collision next week, but I could be wrong.
I think it all depends on the NBA schedule, doesn't it?
Does it? Okay. NBA and NHL are both there, so.
I mean, you got two... You got one series that could literally not make next weekend. It's probably up in the air, I have a feeling.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess before we get into AEW, I forgot. I need a suggestion of what wrestling event to put on behind me here. I got the Peacock fired up.
You want it from me?
You, the chat, I don't care.
I mean, I always tend to go this side because I enjoyed it. But how about ECW One Night Stand? The original One Night
Stand. The first one? I like that.
The original one.
That? Yep.
I had some other ECW ones in mind, but we're going to save those for later dates. Probably when Paul's here so I can get Paul fired up.
I like it. All right. This might take me a little while to find here, but...
Wait, don't you have one of those talk to remote?
I probably do, but I'm too stupid to know how to use it. Let's see.
That's not very nice. You shouldn't call yourself that.
That's all right. See, this will be an interesting thing if they put it under ECW or under WWE, though.
The original, I think, should be under ECW. Right?
I would think so.
The second one sucked.
Here, I'm just going to go to the search bar. That'll probably make it a lot quicker.
Half our listeners. There we go. Half our listeners already clicked off dinner. Thanks.
Oh, probably. Yeah. There we go. That should do it. Okay. Majin, how about those Avs down to the Stars? Yeah, not a good game three at home by the Avs last night. That 4-1 was a whooping. So got to get game four or it's.
Wait a minute. He's a Dallas Stars fan?
No, remember, he's a Jets fan. He's still pissed that the Avs knocked him out. So
that's what I thought. I kind of got a little aggressive last week, didn't I?
Yes, you did, and it was fun. It made for a very good short. Stephen Chambers said, waiting for Canucks versus Oilers game later on, going to be a great series.
Is he another Canadian?
I'm not sure. Stephen, I don't think he is. I think he's
Canadian. If you're rooting for the Canucks or Oilers, if you're excited about this, you got to be Canadian, don't you?
He's a hockey fan. You can be an American hockey fan.
What, live in Arizona? I live in Arizona, and I know.
He's from Mississippi.
That's about the same damn thing. I mean, congrats. I love that you find a sport you love and can root for. So it's a fucking 98 degrees. You're sweating your balls off in Mississippi. Let's root for some guys on some ice. Let's go.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Cheers. Okay, now I got to ask the question. Are you a Rebels fan or a Bulldogs fan? Ole Miss or Mississippi State? I'm curious. Mm. Oh, he says, big Red Wings fan. He used to live in Michigan. Okay, he used to be a Midwestern like us. So. I was in Michigan sucks. Yesterday. I was in Michigan yesterday.
Good thing you moved to Mississippi. Michigan sucks.
Okay, now that we have ECW One Night Stand, the original fired up behind me, the Hammerstein Ballroom, we got Joey Styles.
Classic.
On the mic. And Steven's an Ole Miss fan, Rebels fan. I figured that was probably the answer.
You look a lot like Peyton. You look a lot like Eli Manning, you don't you?
You about said Peyton.
I did.
Steffi said she was at ECW One Night Stand. That would have been a pretty fun event to go to.
Whoa, that would have been cool. The original one, that'd been badass. Yeah. Speaking of Eli Manning, did anybody watch or have you watched the roast of Tom Brady?
Yeah, my wife and I watched it Tuesday last week, I think it was. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Holy cow.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I actually wanted to ask this question. I completely forgot I wanted to ask it to right now. So which professional wrestler would be great to get roasted?
John Cena.
Ooh. Yeah, it would be an interesting one.
Just because of the wrestling and Hollywood phase mixed together.
That'd be an interesting one. I like that.
We saw the roast of Ric Flair. Oh. And that was, if you had the explicit logo up full time, that was there. And then it was really good. And then at the end, Ric Flair stood up and he How do you do that? He basically said, hey, all these comedians just made all these jokes about me and these women. And like we should feel sorry for him. Like, it's not cool. Like, he kind of downplayed it. So I thought that kind of ruined it, the roast of Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
But that was very, very hilarious. But like modern day, I think he has to be John Cena, right? With his Hollywood background. Rock wouldn't work because he's the boss.
The final boss.
He's the final boss. So you look at it's got to be a baby face. So I'm going John Cena.
If we're going heels, I'd love to see Bischoff get roasted.
Fuck that dude.
Exactly. Sorry, I love him. Get roasted.
He's a bitter piece of shit.
He is bitter. And I saw today that the ad-free shows, the network Conrad Thompson runs that houses all his podcasts, they're going to address tomorrow on 83 Weeks the future of the podcast. So no idea what that means, but.
Hope Conrad says you're a douchebag and we ain't making any money. I'm out.
Stephen Chambers said Hulk Hogan. That would get interesting pretty
here's
fast.
Here's the difference with Hulk Hogan with what he's done in the last 60 days, and I'm not knocking this at all, okay? he come out and very religious all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Found God, and
mm-hmm.
which, hey, if that's his gig, bless his heart, good for him. But you can't have a roast with what his past was and his and his current
gimmick.
Lifestyle is. And I don't want to get into that religion debate.
Yeah.
That's for another day, another dollar. It wouldn't mix. Like you could get some really, really good jokes out of it, but you're gonna have half the people laugh, half the people probably boo you. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Hogan's got way too many stuff in the closet.
He's got a lot of skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, I mean that would not. I mean, I would laugh, but I'm a sick individual. So
Martin said Batista.
Yeah, Batista's too big of a fucking Democrat.
Well, we know what side Shep's on there.
Yeah.
If you didn't already. Steffi said, I hope they cancel 83 weeks. I'm kind of right there with that. I used to really enjoy that pod, but Bischoff just, all he does is rant about AEW anymore.
So. I'll stamp on that one. She's correct.
She said Iron Sheik. I think she meant get Sheik to put on the Hogan roast.
Yeah. Yeah. Sheik would be fun.
Cornette and Russo together. Just kidding, Chamberlain. Oh, they'd kill each other. It'd be great.
Oh, could you imagine, though? Put a bunch of professional wrestlers, professional managers in between Shitstain and Jim Cornette, and then let them go there. Oh, my God. That'd be great.
That would be great.
That would be good. You know what? You could $49.95 pay-per-view that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be good. That would be good. So. All right, we've been going for about 17 and a half minutes. Let's dive into AEW. But I guess you got one question here to answer. Steffi said, which one is Shitstain?
It's Vince. As much as I disagree with a lot of the shit,
that and comes all you could say is it's Vince, because that could go for multiple people named Vince.
It's Russo. Let's put it that way. As much as I bitch about Cornette, I still love his passion and his historianism. I guess I just made him my own. I still love his passion of the business. He's a little old school, which doesn't fit with some of the stuff that we all like. But I think you got to respect him. I don't agree with that everything he says, but I still respect his outlook on the business, what he's done for the business. And I'd love to sit and have a beer with him. Would we agree on everything? No. But yeah, that's my look on him.
I was laughing at Majin's comment.
Well, am I going to see it?
Oh, sorry. I clicked the wrong one. I had my eyes closed laughing. He said, Trish Stratus. He said, Pam Anderson got one. Why not another blonde with big fake tits?
Pamela Anderson couldn't take a bump like Trish, though.
That's very true. That's very true. So, all right. Let's get into some AEW. Let's tackle a serious topic around AEW first before we get into talking about Dynamite. There was an issue that happened, I guess technically ROH. They're an ROH taping. An individual was saying some very vulgar things towards Sky Blue, and that led to security, Aubrey Edwards, and telling security to get this guy out of the building. Security did so. The guy supposedly put up a fight. But I guess my main message I want to say, and Pluggo and I talked about this when I filled in for JPJ the other night on their Between Two Beards show, and I helped him co-host the show. Mainly it comes down to, guys, we got to be better. We got to be better overall as men. Especially at pro wrestling events, there's no time and place to say the types of comments this guy was saying at Sky Blue. Just over the line stuff.
Yeah, I think you said it pretty well there, but at this day and age, there's no room for that in the sport that we all love. even if I'm sitting front row at any event, I don't care what promotion, well, I don't care if it's a national promotion, an indie promotion. If I'm sitting front row and there's two females or two males in the ring and they're shit, okay, let's just call a spade, right? Like they're not tearing the house down. They're the complete opposite. They're the shit. It's still not my right, even though I'm sitting front row, to give them shit back. Now, if they're the heel and we're going back and forth, it's the banter. I get it. But to actually knock on somebody because of their performance or knock on somebody because of their appearance.
Yeah.
Look, bro, you're not that good. You look, you know, I'm a Sky Blue fan. I'm a Mark. I'll tell you that right now. I think she's got, at her age, her looks, her potential in the ring, we're going to see Sky Blue for years, years, years to come. So the guy that blowing her shit, he must have a really, really small dick. That's all I can think of.
Okay? Yeah. I mean,
and I hope he got put in his place. I love that Aubrey Edwards stuck up for Sky Blue. I hope that the security took care of that dude. And I hope we don't see him at an AEW event. I hope we don't even see him at a WWE event. Hell, I'll even go even further. I hope we don't see him at an NWA event. And those guys,
they put the title on Tyrus.
And they listen to Billy Corgan. I'm just saying, like, I there's no room for that in this. Nope,
there's not. Look, it's,
we go to those events. We all want to have fun. Yep. We all want to enjoy it.
Don't ruin it for everybody else around you.
Don't. Yeah. I mean, these men and women go out every night. They put their body on the line. Let's be honest. They put their body on the line. One mishap and they're hurt legit. It could change your life.
Yep.
You know, if I was sitting next to it'd have been really hard. If I was sitting next to the guy that was doing this and I had a couple vodkas in me, beers, tequila,
what,
whiskey,
what,
I would have had a hard time, you know, keeping my mouth shut. I'm the most unconfrontational guy in the world.
Well, it sounded like a lot of people were being vocal and told him to shut up. And the more they did that, the louder he got.
Yeah, well.
It was then, what I was reading online. So he's just a piece of crap.
That's one of the what's the big dude that the security guard that's around ringside?
Sam.
Sam needed to come just fucking body
Sam,
to body that.
Sam did slam a guy last night. You see that?
Yeah, he did.
Man got in the ring and old he tackled Danny, him like a linebacker.
Well, hey, the old official that gave me the little cameo, what's his name?
Bryce Remsburg.
Bryce was right there with him.
Yeah. That, what an idiot. How drunk do you got to be to jump the guardrail and try to get in the ring?
You got to drink more than Chip. That's for sure.
And I'm pretty sure the guy was pretty drunk with how he slid in the ring. It wasn't very smooth.
I'm a big dude, but I think I can slide in there real quicker than that. But
yep, Stephanie says somebody needed to rock his block.
Yeah. No spot for this in our sport. And I say our sport because obviously we cover it, and I enjoy 99.9% of this shit. So.
Yeah. Yep, and like Steven said, I read too. His son, or maybe it wasn't his son, but a kid was with him too. When this was
that makes it even worse, man.
Makes it even worse.
Like, what a big, you're a big piece of shit if you're doing that in front of a young child. Like, let those young child go there and enjoy the show. That's what they're there for. And maybe I'm a little more sensitive because I have young kids. But if I go to a sporting event, let's throw professional wrestling out. If I go to a MLB, NBA, or NFL event and I'm sitting there with young kids and I got a belligerent fan, whether he's drunk or not, I'm going to be upset about it.
Yep.
So, you know, now that you just told me that he had a young child with him, then he is a complete fuck stain. So there you go. You can give me the explicit whatever.
I'll just do this.
Fuck Stain.
He is 100%. 100%. And imagine, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is another thing Plugo and I were talking about. We couldn't believe there was people defending this guy on social media the other day. I there's no room to defend this guy. I mean, he was harassing a female to the point that you made her visibly upset going backstage. It's lucky Kyle Fletcher didn't come in and kick his face off.
Oh, I wish he would have.
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you can get the talent upset and then you can have the official upset, which Aubrey's a damn good official.
Oh, very good.
She's better than Cargo Pants.
Knox.
Quick
Knox.
Not cargo pants. He just wears
just needs some pants that wear fit him.
Yeah. But if you can upset her, like, come on, dude. You were out of line, completely out of line. Let's move on. Actually, we should quit talking about the dipshit.
No, I agree. And I agree with Majin. Props to Soraya for outing the two on live TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she was calling them.
She did. Yeah, she did. So Soraya, you should have slapped the shit out of him.
Yep.
I know you don't listen to us, but you should.
You should.
You should, Soraya. Yep. Tag her in, this son of a bitch.
Yep. Yep. So, yep, we're done giving that guy any more publicity. But I just want to say that because that was a negative day to be on part of the IWC the other day, seeing how many people were defending that guy. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah. No room to defend that.
Nope. So.
Tell that fat slob to get in the ring and perform.
Yeah, I would love to. Would love to see that. Yeah. So, yep, like Steffi said, zero room for that. Yep, zero room for that. Dynamite was fun this week. It was in Edmonton, which pretty good crowd. They were nervous with the Oilers game going on around the same time that they might not have a good crowd, but the crowd was pretty good, pretty vocal crowd. Let's just kick it off by talking about the biggest takeaway from the show. That was the show's ending. We had the Elite in the ring, and we knew they were gonna. From earlier in the night, we saw Kenny Omega in the hospital, and he said it's gonna be anarchy in the arena. The Elite against FTR, who he called the best tag team in the world. I know that pops up, and he said the two other stars would be revealed later in the night. And dumbass me thought, oh, that means Motor City Machine Guns. But then I got to thinking, that wouldn't make a lot of sense for them to come right in the company and be on Team AEW right away, even though they probably would with a nice check that Tony Khan's going to hand them.
Oh, they'll do anything. Yeah. Money talks, but it didn't make sense for the storyline. I get it.
So waiting there, and I'm going over all the guys in my head. I'm like, man, I don't know. Maybe this is the time Hangman comes back and he's going to switch to face and go against the Elite. And I'm thinking of all these guys. Well, first guy's music to hit, Eddie Kingston. I'm like, okay. I like that. He's been in an anarchy match before. He's got beef with the Bucks. He's got beef with Okada. Not so much Jack Perry, but Jack Perry gets on all the faces' nerves. So, and then I'm like, all right, who's going to be the last guy? Then Bryan Danielson's music hit.
That one shocked me a little bit.
Yep. But another guy that has experience in anarchy in the arena.
And with Okada.
And with Okada. So, and it's interesting, Danielson and Kingston teaming together for Team AEW.
But it makes sense. Let's talk a little long story timeline here. After their match, there was a backstage vignette posted between the two of them. They were all taped up in ice and whatnot. And they thanked each other and said they respect each other.
Yep. True.
Now we watched that after their match when Kingston beat Danielson, right? We watched the match. It was a great match. We were on cloud nine. And then the next morning, AEW posts this vignette. This is what, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, probably 2 months ago.
Yeah,
probably
the Revolution, ago. I think.
Yeah, so they post this vignette, and we're like, "Damn, that's real!" Like we were. I remember sending it to you and Paul. Like, "Damn, this is real. This is real." I'm telling you right now, boys, that's some long-term storytelling.
Yeah, they're starting to tell.
They had this shit planned out, and we, you know, 6, 8, 9 months ago, we used to bitch about, we don't have a lot of storytelling in AEW. You know, we don't stretch it out. And we were in the midst of this Cody Bloodline shit that was just, you know, trumping AEW. But old Tony Khan sitting in the weeds, just methodically doing this stuff. And I'm telling you right now, it's coming together. Like, I remember as soon as Dawson comes out with Kingston, I'm like, holy shit, really? Oh, wait, they did that vignette together. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
Yep. So got some comments here. Majin, I have a feeling the guns, Motor City Machine Guns, that is, will be TK's chosen team to go against the Bucks when TK comes back. Steven Chambers, bold prediction, Hangman helps the Elite beat FTR, Kingston, and Danielson. And he also mentions how the Elite attacked Kingston last night in New Japan. Yes, the Young Bucks returned to New Japan for the first time since 2019. Them and Jack Perry attacked Eddie Kingston after his match against Gabe Kidd, which he lost his title against Gabe Kidd last night.
Did you see the suplex he took through the table over the guardrail?
My God.
And I mean, I'm one of the biggest Eddie Kingston fans. He's made me a believer over the last year and a half. But the next guy that's making me a believer, this is Gabe Kidd. The stuff he has done with his promos and got on the mic and done stuff, I really like this kid.
Yep. Bullet Club
No pun intended, calling him Gabe Kidd. But yeah, I really, really like this guy.
But I'm excited for this Anarchy in the Arena match. I like these. This is annual tradition, Double or Nothing. Of course, 2020, the pandemic pay-per-view, it was Stadium Stampede between the Inner Circle and the Elite plus Matt Hardy, since Matt Hardy replaced Cody in that match, pretty much. Or actually replaced Nick Jackson, but Cody was supposed to be in the original one. I digress. Then 2001, we got the Inner Circle against the Pinnacle. 2002, we got the Jericho Appreciation Society against Blackpool Combat Club. 2003, we got last year Blackpool Combat Club against the Elite. So a lot of these guys have experience in that match, and it's going to get crazy. And I got to think that's going to be the main event.
It's got to be. Yeah, it got to be.
I mean, I like – I'm an old school when it comes to the world title match main eventing, but I think this will trump Swerve versus Christian in the main event slot.
Yeah, because I don't – I mean, I thought – a lot of people are happy that Christian took that spot, but I mean, I feel it's a filler. We know that.
It is. He's got to fill with some heels until he gets.
And there's some past history there.
Yeah. They told him, with the Nick Wayne stuff.
With the Nick Wayne stuff. So, yep. But yep. Anarchy in the Arena, this is in Vegas, right?
Yep. And they moved it back to the MGM, which hasn't been there in couple years. They've been doing the T-Mobile arena. So
do they have Anarchy Arena start in Allegiant Stadium?
I'm not familiar with the locations in Vegas, how close everything is to each other.
It's within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, do they do that? I mean, with the connections of TK and the in the NFL. Do you start it in the Allegiant Stadium? Do you go to T-Mobile and then, you know, move it to MGM? Like, there's many stadiums around there, so you don't start it in the stadium. If you remember the last time that Eddie came out drenched in blood and gasoline, and he looked like a zombie. They started at some other point, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. It does suck for the live attendance, though, when they do that kind of thing. But
there's big ass screens. Come on.
Yeah, I know. They've done it every year. So.
Yeah, you're drinking $14 beers and watching LED screens. Let's have some fun.
Stephen Chambers, who's getting run over by the golf cart?
Hopefully one of the EVPs.
Jack Perry.
I'm going with Matt. I said Matt.
Hey, I respect the EVP, so I'll say Matthew. Hey,
just like what Christopher Daniels said, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, CD getting himself back on TV. And Matt yeah. Sydal, he's got to bring Matt with him.
Why? Why? Of all people.
I was hoping it was going to be Scorpio Sky.
Okay.
A little SCU reunion.
Yeah.
But no.
One time.
But no. No. Yeah. Majin says, pay the fine. That's towards you, Shep.
What? Which fine?
For not respecting the EVPs. Gotta pay the fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Checks in the mail, bitch.
Some other notes from Dynamite. Of course, the show started with the battle of the former best friends, Orange Cassidy versus Trent Beretta. Fine match. Orange got the win, which kind of made me mad. I wanted Trent to pick up the win there, but I don't think this rivalry is done by any means. And I know Steven had a comment up here. I got to find it. Yes, this was my beef with the match, too. He said, my beef, Orange and Trent didn't sell at all. Trent did a pile driver on the steel steps to Orange, and immediately he gets up carrying a steel chair after the match. Yeah, there was, yeah. He did a couple moves to Orange, and Orange got back up pretty quickly. Yeah, there was no selling in this match whatsoever.
Which, I mean, there's been a lot of matches. Orange doesn't sell a lot of stuff. That's, I mean, a lot of the old school guys, like, shit on Orange because of it. And if you remember back in the day, I used to shit on Pockets, right?
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah.
But he kind of sold me, so.
I mean, I like the rivalry. I like the story, but yeah, he took a pile driver in the steps and then he got up like it's no big deal. And he ends up walking away with Callis at the end, which that's still something. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
That's weird. I don't think Orange could be a heel, can he?
No, I don't think so. Not this stage in his career.
He doesn't talk. That's why.
Yeah.
So if you don't talk, how can you say some heelish shit, right?
Yep. So I don't know. We'll see where that goes. But I mean, Callis is a great heel. Everybody hates him. Everybody boos him for a reason. But and then we saw Statlander, of course, talk Trent down because Trent had a toolbox. He was going to try to finish off Orange Cassidy, Seth Rollins, Fiend style, from arguably the worst match ever, Hell in a Cell. We will see. Stephen Chambers, Orange versus Trent, double or nothing. Trent joining with Callis. See, I could get on board with that. Trent's a heel. He's a good heel. They need to change his damn music. I don't like how he still comes out with the best friend's music. But, yeah. I think Statlander's turning heel as well. Majin, I think it's gonna be more so with Willow and Mercedes than it is in this story, but it is kind of weird how she is intertwined in both stories. I definitely think she's going the heel route. And she did walk up the ramp with Trent too. Yes. Yes. Steffi's comment, super crazy to Jerry and FBI. Yes, that is the three-way match happened behind me at ECW's One Night Stand, the original one. Yeah, Shep went to the Shadow Realm. I don't know where he went. I can still hear his audio, but there's no camera. So I guess it's just me talking right now. So other things on Dynamite. Shivani welcomes Serena Deeb to the arena. And then she cut a promo pretty much explaining that losing at Double or Nothing is not an option. She came back from the hardest 15 months of her life after suffering multiple seizures. She said the experience was scary and mystifying. She said she dreams of being an AEW Women's World Champion. That kept her motivated as she dealt with the issues. Then Toni Storm comes out. She calls it her charity case, which made Deeb mad. Deeb says she will fight for her life to be champion. Toni Storm says she doesn't care about Deeb's issues. Deeb gets in her face. Deeb blocks a sneak attack and lays Toni Storm out with a solid right hand. Just talking about how Serena Deeb laid out Toni Storm with a solid right hand on the ramp.
Loved it, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really like Serena Deeb. I know we had a little run with her, and then she went away and came back.
But she went away because she had multiple seizures. She was out 15 months.
Yeah. But I definitely think that her and Tony could be a really, really good match. It'll be a good match.
Yeah. Stephen Chambers, Canadian fans have not been kind to Deeb. Majin backed that up, saying she's talking about her personal shit, her life. Not only – this is to the crowd. Not only are you not reacting, some of you are booing her and chanting, "Go Oilers, go." I'm sorry, but screw you. Yeah, I thought that was pretty low. She was talking about personal life, going through seizures, and, yeah, they were booing her. Yeah, that was off the mark. Off the mark. Winnipeg was kind to her, Majin said, which Majin was there live, so he would know. Yeah. And Steffi calling Edmonton classless. They were in that spot for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw Mariah May get a win over Harley Cameron. Another week, another match for Mariah May. Like I said last week, she gets more TV time than any female on the roster.
They are really, really pushing her. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
well, and then we saw after Cameron and Shreya attacking Mariah May, and then Mina Shirakawa, I believe is how you pronounce her last name, from Stardom. Stop it.
Sorry.
She ran out to make the save with Maria May, and they toast with champagne. So,
champagne. Yeah. That's all I said. I said champagne. Come on.
God. And let's see here. Majin, and I had to be brought back to life with the paddles from that match. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. We saw the Bastard Pack. Said he was getting interviewed, not concerned with the future of Death Triangle, but is interrupted by Switchblade, Jay White. Jay says the Death Triangle's dead. Pack needs to be concerned with himself.
How does his ears get bigger?
And Shep froze. Shep froze on me. So that would be a good screenshot. I could take advantage of that, but I won't. While we're waiting for Shep to get back and keep talking about Jay White and Pac, I'll move on to talking about Swerve and Christian. Swerve entered with the title. No Nana, so no dance this week for Swerve, but Swerve looked like he meant business coming down the ramp, coming to the ring. Said he's mad at Christian for stealing the lock of his hair and demands Christian bring the rest of the Adams family to the ring. Christian enters. Christian says there won't be any championship this year as the Montreal Canadiens are about to beat the Edmonton Oilers in hockey. Of course, that gets a nice little reaction from the crowd. Christian says that Swerve has ridden a wave of support that will crash on the shore soon as Christian feels he deserves to be world champion now. Christian says he will foreclose on Swerve's house. Pretty good line there. Take the title and his teeth. Swerve back, gets back up. It says Swerve gets back up. The Gates of Agony are behind him and Brian Cage. Swerve says he will beat Christian's ass like Kendrick beat Drake, and that it won't be the first time someone from the West Coast beat a fake father from Canada. He promises to make Christian say, "I quit." Christian's speechless, but right when he doesn't have anything to say, and I thought Brian Cage kind of gave this away by how he positioned himself behind Christian, Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony attack Swerve. The trio hit him with a powerbomb and leave him laying. The Gates of Agony and Christian fight off the referees and security, delivering a vicious, or the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage, too many cages here, fight off the referees and security, delivering a vicious double team maneuver through the announce table, much to the patriarchy's glee. Backstage, the Young Bucks shake Christian's hand and thank him for putting on a great show. So not only does Swerve left by himself because his stablemates turn on him, it looks like the EVPs I've struck a deal with Christian and the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage. So a little interesting stuff going on there. Yes, Rey Mysterio on behind me against Psychosis, Unmasked Psychosis there for ECW One Night Stand. Hopefully Shep gets his internet going here soon. Said his internet dropped. It's not good. Asked him if he needs me to send him the link again. But while we're waiting, we'll keep going down the list here. Backstage, we saw Willow Nightingale. She runs down a recent resume and accomplishments and promises to defeat Mercedes Moné at Double or Nothing. So we got backstage promos from both of these ladies hyping up their TBS match. And Shep is back. He's back. That dang internet.
Internet fun.
Basically, while you're gone, I went down the card and we were talking about the whole Swerve and Christian angle with Brian Cage, your boy, and the Gates of Agony turning on Swerve, swerving on Swerve, and joining. It looks like Christian's family there, and then we saw the Bucks pretty much thank Christian backstage. Says, pleasure doing business with you.
I love that they're going to get Swerve away from that dipshit Brian Cage. I love that he did the stairs version of Concerto, right?
Mm-hmm.
On one of the Gates
of Agony. The big guys from Gates of Agony, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Swerve is your AEW champion. He does not need those guys behind him. This was the perfect way to get him away from them. So I thought this was a $1 million segment. Even though dipshit Brian Cage was involved, I thought it was a $1 million segment.
So Swerve's kind of all by himself, right? It doesn't look like he's got a lot of friends. He's done a lot of people wrong in AEW in his past, and he's mentioned that. And I was listening to Justin Labar and Jonathan Hood of Sunday's version of Busted Open, the podcast today when I was mowing.
That was shit, by the way. those dudes are shit, by the way.
I know you love to rip on them. I think they do an all right job.
But. Actually, you know what? I have a feeling if I had beers with them, we'd get along just fine. But
I think it would too.
They're not Bully Ray and Dave LaGreca and Mark Henry and Thunder Rosa and Nick Nemeth and Tommy Dreamer on a weekday. So I got to give them guys, I gotta give them guys shit because I listen to them on Saturday mornings. I'm like, hey, you fuck stains. Much respect.
So where I'm going is I can't take all the credit for this idea that that Justin threw out there. But he said, what if AEW does an ultimate Swerve with Swerve? And, you know, his back's up against the wall against all these guys. What if Hangman comes back and instead of feuding with Swerve again, steps right to Swerve's side and helps Swerve?
Help Swerve against the Elite, right?
No, yeah, I guess, yeah, down the road. Yeah. Not against these guys, but down the road helps save AEW because it looks like Swerve's going to get involved with this storyline eventually somewhere.
I would love it if Hangman came back and said, you know what? Fuck you, Elite. I'm going to go with this guy right here because you guys, I mean, how many times have the Elite turned their shit on Hangman?
A lot.
It's been more than once.
Yep. And heck, Hangman drank Swerve's blood. I mean, these guys are bonded for life.
So what's the old famous saying? It's better to do business with the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess he knows. I guess that doesn't make sense. Damn it. He knows them both. Anyways, I just feel like, it would be a bigger pop if he came back with Swerve and took his back.
Yeah. About Brian Cage, Modern said, man, he can't cut a promo. Steffi said he sucks.
Thank you. I'm not the only one. I feel like you and Paul give me a little bit of a complex because I harp on that dipshit.
Yep.
I'm not the only one.
I'm guessing Mazin's talking about Hangman here. This guy's pushed me more than you ever have. I might hate him, but damn, do I respect him. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. And they already, you know, they've already thrown Hangman under the bus. I mean, they've kind of kicked him out of the lead while he's been gone, and they're already calling this new stable with the new Elite with Okada and Jack Perry the best version of the Elite ever. So, yeah. Oh, we saw Jay White make pretty quick work out of Rocky Romero. The Guns then attacked Romero, but Pac's music hit and the Bullet Club Gold Retreat. So, got to think we're getting a Trios title match with Penta, Phoenix, and Pac versus the Bang Bang Gang at Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And Pat can fly down with his ears.
Up next, the moment we've all been waiting for. Big Bill in the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho, went against some local jobbers, and they squashed him. Jericho then said he's happy to be in Calgary. Immediately had to correct himself to Edmonton. Jericho apologized and said he deserves the you effed up chance. Jericho says he learns from mistakes. Jericho thanks Big Bill for all of his help and says Bill's already learning. Jericho thanks Shibata for a great match. Jericho thanks Hook. Tony Schiavone joins Jericho in the ring. Schiavone says Hook will return next week on Dynamite. Jericho says he looks forward to the return of Hook and says thanks, guys, to the crowd as he waves.
Are you done?
Yes. Yes. Any thoughts? Any thoughts?
Okay, I'm back. I'm back. Next segment.
See, you just fooled everybody. Everybody thought you went back to the shadow realm yet again.
No. I didn't want to talk about that shit.
I just feel bad that Hook's still intertwined in the Jericho vortex here.
I mean, was it 3 weeks ago they came out and said Hook's contract's up and 2 months
later this year,
he's interested in shopping it, which shocked me really because obviously his dad. But after watching this shit, yeah, you know what, Hook, shop that shit.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, he'll go to NXT and be called fucking Spear, but yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a one-syllable word that they're going to call him, but yeah, they'll call him Spear.
Martin said this Learning Tree stuff has been entertaining, at least. I can't hate it. Oh, he's leaning into it hardcore. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
He's a... You know what? It probably works with... I'm going to say the majority, because the majority, I feel like, thought he needed a refresh. Maybe a step away from the company, but him coming in doing what he's doing pisses me off. So it works, right?
Right.
He's hooking the crowd. So
Stephen Chambers says can't stand a Learning Tree gimmick like Jericho, but he needs time off.
See, I saw exactly my point. Exactly.
Bond said Hook will go to NXT and be called Taz Jr. Dress him up in orange and black singlet like his dad.
I like Spear better.
I like Spear too. That popped me pretty good. We got our last match of the night on Dynamite. This was no DQ match for the AEW TNT Championship. Adam Copeland defending against the House of Black's Brody King. I love this match.
This pretty good match.
I thought
hard hitting match.
Do I need to remind everybody that Adam Copeland's 50 years old?
Do you need to remind that Brody King is 310 pounds?
The way he moves, you do.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
It's another reason I brought that up.
I mean, they had hard spots on the apron. We saw Brody King getting tons of color. Man, it was a fun match. I mean, at the end, we did see Copeland hit a spear. 4-1, 2-3. We all knew Copeland wasn't going to lose this match, but it was still very entertaining. Didn't make Brody look weak at all. After the match, Brody King attacked Copeland, but Kyle O'Reilly came in for the save. And then, so in return, later on, it was still during Dynamite that Kyle O'Reilly asked Copeland for a Cope Open match in his hometown of Vancouver on Saturday. Copeland says he's on. That was a really kind of corny backstage segment, I thought. It was kind of weird.
A little different.
Yeah, Majin said, don't sleep on Christian Cage and don't sleep on Cope. No, they're doing some great work. I might be in the minority here, but I'm loving Adam Copeland's run in AEW. I think it's fun.
I think it's a justified run where he tried to have one in WWE and they threw him in the Judgment Day and then kicked him out. So this is very, very justified, and I love it. So
yep. And Maja said, you know, Malachi wants to reawaken the insane cope, the hair, pulling his hair out, eyes bugging out in St. Copeland. I'm here for it. I agree with that 100%. 100%. I think Steffi's enjoying watching the one night stand in the background more than the pod tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's aggressive.
Which is fine. Steven says, rather have Ospreay versus O'Reilly than Copeland versus O'Reilly, but it's a good match. Yeah, it was a good match last night on Collision. Hopefully we get Ospreay versus O'Reilly down the line, because that'd be a really good match. But I thought it was good last night on Collision. So that was Dynamite in a nutshell.
Good show.
Yeah, pretty solid show. I thought it was a little better than last week. So, in my opinion. And I think I rated last week at 7.7, so I'll have to keep that in mind for later on.
Yeah. Talking about Collision, we got Ospreay, but I was not a fan of his opponent.
Lee Moriarty?
Yeah, I'm not a
You're not a Moriarty guy?
No. Like and the reason to put those two guys together? Yeah.
But are you
Wait. Did you just post that comment?
Yeah, Majin says Steffi loves her extremely crappy wrestling. So that's what he calls ECW.
Yeah, how them Winnipeg Jets doing, you jackalope? How can you call, like, over the years, how could you say ECW was not revolutionary, right? What does that mean?
I just laughed.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler did say that back in the 90s.
He got paid a lot of money to do it, and he was looking for puppies.
Yeah, speaking of Lawler, he is, for the first time since 1992, not under WWE contract.
He gone.
Yep.
He gone.
Yep.
Hit the mic. He gone.
Ah, it means fool in Japanese. There we go.
Oh, Japanese. Hot. Oh, you can't do that. Sorry. Tanner don't want to do that. Never mind.
Steven Chambers going old school WCW rap is crap. Oh, Kurt Hennig. What a guy.
Mr. Perfect, man.
Yep. What a guy.
Yeah.
Collision last night. Fine show. We saw it open with Blackpool Combat Club versus Top Flight. Typical Top Flight match. Entertaining, but you know they're not going to get the win. Unless it's on Rampage. And Danielson and Claudio went over. But after the match, Danielson got on the mic, cut a promo about Anarchy in the Arena, and halfway through the promo, Claudio goes backstage. And later on in the night, they catch up with Claudio. He said, you know, Danielson wants to be on teammate AEW. He's fucking good with it, whatever. But he still can't get behind the idea of Danielson and Eddie Kingston teaming up. So Claudio and Eddie can just, no matter what, if the rivalry is over for a year, it's never really over.
I can appreciate that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Lee Moriarty and Will Ospreay. We saw Ospreay get the win. Ospreay's incredible, like always. Workhorse of a wrestler. And I say that again because he's going to be on a Collision again next week against Shane Taylor. After Shane Taylor got involved in this match. What do you think of that matchup? I know you're not for a small guy versus a big guy.
Shane Taylor can really, really move for a big guy.
He can.
I'm okay with it. We'll see how it turns out for sure. We'll talk about it next Sunday, obviously. I'm not sold on Shane Taylor, but yet I'm not ready to bust his balls. So
yeah,
I'm kind of split down the middle. So I think Ospreay will run this match, elevate this match, and make Shane look like $1 million is what I can predict. So
Kurt Angle and JBL are getting roasted behind me.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. JBL, that fucking stupid hat.
Yep. He was the ultimate heel. Ultimate heel.
The funny part was, is before he was the cowboy wearing, investing, making $1 million money guy, he literally sat backstage, played poker, drank beer, and said, damn.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was, him and Ron Simmons.
Him and Ron Simmons.
Yeah, Ron Simmons said damn, but yes, you're right.
One of the original African-American heavyweight champions.
First one in WCW history.
Yeah, that they recognize. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize, like, is it Bobo Brazil in NWA, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah, but they recognize Ron. But, you know, good for Ron.
Yeah.
AOP was it AOP, right?
Yeah. APA.
APA. Those guys were, they were fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were. And even when their heels as part of the Ministry of Darkness and the corporate ministry as the Acolytes, pretty hard-hitting team then, too.
Yeah.
So, save both guys' careers, because both guys were kind of aspiring before they paired them with each other. So, we saw Brian Cage and the Mogul Embassy squash some guys. But Swerve came out and beat the crap out of all of them. And, like you said, did a concerto on the steel steps. Mm-hmm. He challenged Brian Cage on Dynamite next week in his home state of Washington. So, you got to watch Brian Cage again next week.
Yay.
Sorry about you. We saw Daniel Garcia get over in a squash match against KM. Daddy Magic was on commentary. I don't really have anything else to say about that.
The fan ran in the ring.
Yeah, the fan did run in the ring. Got speared by security guard Sam. That's right.
I felt like that was a highlight of the match.
Here was a fun match, though. Your boy. Dax the Axe Harwood.
Oh, yeah.
Versus Tommy Billington making his AEW debut. He is the nephew of Dynamite Kid.
And he went by the Dynamite Kid.
Yeah, I was impressed with this guy. In a losing effort to Dax, I was impressed by him.
I thought it was pretty stiff.
That's how Dax likes it.
I think that's how both of them like it, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was, obviously I'm rooting for Dax going into this match. And then once I saw this kid start to work, I'm like, oh man, I like them both. So this kid made me a believer, and I hope we see more of him going down the road.
Yeah, me too. After the match, Dax shook his hand, raised his arm, did all that stuff. So Majin brings up a good point. Tony Storm versus Harley Cameron next week makes up for having to see Brian Cage.
Correct.
Correct.
Correct. Correct. Correct. Brian Cage will be blacked out on my television behind my shoulder.
Fast forward button.
Yes.
Because you'll probably be, if you're behind, that is.
If I'm behind, if it's his main event, I'm caught up usually by then. So.
Yeah. Our women's match of the night was Thunder Rosa versus Robin Renegade. I got to be honest, I kind of tuned out of this match a little bit. And I enjoy Thunder Rosa's work, but
I'm kind of with you.
I knew she was going to win. So
I watched the first, 5-6 minutes of this match. I'm like, okay, time to fast forward. So
Yeah. So
nothing against Thunder. I like Thunder, but.
Right. It's new. We did get a match announcement for Dynamite, another one. Dax Harwood versus Okada. That's going to be fun on Dynamite.
I got my feelings that I'm going to hold for a week. Just like
So why don't we see Cash in singles action near as much as we do Dax? The one thought that comes across, like, I know he's still got that whole gun situation.
Did I send you that video on Twitter about the Japanese wrestler? I'm not going to associate with New Japan. The Japanese wrestler, like, when he come to, like, the guys, he's on the ropes and they attack him and he pulls literally a gun out of his.
No, I did not.
I did not send you that. Oh, no. God, I got to send you that shit. Anyways, it's a comedy skit in Japan wrestling. these three wrestlers attack this guy in the ring or in the corner. He hops up on the top of the rope and he literally pulls a gun out of his tights and he points it at these three wrestlers and they all have, you know, different reactions. And I saw it once and then I saw it again. It was like when Cash Wheeler gets cornered and I'm like, holy shit, that's funnier than hell. It's not funny. It is funny. Whatever. I don't know the situation with Cash. Right. I don't know the road rage situation.
Right.
We all don't know, but
right.
I'm going to look it up. I'll send it to you guys later.
Well, I thought it might be something to do with that, but if AEW was worried about that, they wouldn't have him in the Anarchy in the Arena match. So
they wouldn't have him on television
every week. That's a good point too.
So, I'm not saying this, but maybe it's because Dax is just that much better of a wrestler.
He is better than Cash, even though I think Cash is more athletic, does the tope suicidas and stuff, and he's a heck of a talent. But yeah, I mean, besides when they went against each other, Cash and Dax last year in one of the rounds for the Owen Hart Cup, mm-hmm. I don't recall Cash really having a singles match.
No. And maybe he didn't like it. I don't. Maybe he's not a fan of it.
Yeah, that could be.
And Dax.
Well, and you know, Dax had to go on his own for a little while when Cash ripped his arm a couple years ago. Remember that? Got caught on the hook of the turnbuckle. Our main event of Collision was Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Copeland for the TNT Championship. So Cope technically got the main event twice
this week.
That's why my lower third says Adam Copeland is a legend. Dude is a legend. A hard-fought match, back and forth, a lot of close calls for KOR in front of his hometown Vancouver crowd. But in the end, Cope hits a spear and gets the 1-2-3. But afterwards, they raise their arm and he's trying to say something to KOR, and KOR is trying to get away, and Cope's grabbing harder, and then he looks at Cope weird, and Cope wipes some blood off his lip, and then the commentator is like, Adam Copeland's not himself. Well, on Rampage, we go backstage and we see Copeland, and he's calling out Malachi and pretty much saying Malachi wants to bring the bad side out of Copeland. And the whole time he's talking about, he's behind a steel fence with some barbed wire. So I'm like, oh, I hope they're going to do what I think they're going to do. And they absolutely did, as Copeland challenged Malachi Black to a TNT title match at Double or Nothing in a barbed wire steel cage.
I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in so far.
Yep. Majin said that's why the rest of the week for him is Cope. Steam Chambers barbed wire steel cage match for Copeland and Black. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I've been a proponent for well over a year to get Malachi Black more singles matches, get him more singles matches. Here we go. He's got a chance to go for gold, and not only that, not only gets a legend, but in a barbed wire steel cage match, a kind of match we have not seen in AEW before, and arguably their biggest event of the year. Sign me up. Sign me up every day. Would you say, and I think I've asked this before on the podcast, but would you say Double or Nothing's AEW's biggest event? I mean, I know that was always argued when there was four pay-per-views. I know there's eight or nine now, but I mean, what's technically in your mind their WrestleMania, even though they don't book it like WWE does with WrestleMania, where the kind of season stops and starts around WrestleMania. But in your opinion, what's AEW's quote unquote WrestleMania?
Man, I'd almost go Wembley now, though.
Yeah, it's their biggest, you know.
It's
only their second one. Because this will be the sixth Double or Nothing in the 5-year anniversary of AEW.
But the original Double or Nothing was only 10,000 people, right?
Well, that's what this one's got to be again, because it's in the arena again, MGM.
Right. So, I mean, that's great, and there's history behind it, but you put 80,000 people in Wembley.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to trump a lot of shit, right?
Sure. And I get with that name, All In, you know, the original All In wasn't an AEW event, but it kind of got the ball rolling emotion for a what turned out to be AEW, even though Tony was already starting conversations way back before that, but it helped get the ball rolling. And I know some people think it's All Out just because All Out was kind of the next step from All In, even though Double or Nothing was the first AEW event. I guess I will always say Double or Nothing, not always, but right now I would say Double or Nothing, but I think an argument could be made for a few different events as far as their version of WrestleMania.
I mean, when you got 80,000 people behind you, it's hard to bitch, right?
Even though Steffi loved ECW, she's not a huge barbed wire fan. It depends on the people, though. Again, Majin, I'm going to need Copeland to bring some of his Aries from Piercy Jackson out in this match. I have not watched that series, but I heard it was really good. And I heard he was really good in it. So I'm going to have to check that out. Rampage was after Collision. Not a ton to take away from this show. Trent Beretta beat Dalton Castle, one of Shep's boys, no pun intended, in the opening of Rampage. Deonna Purrazzo.
I like Dalton Castle. I know
he's got a unique gimmick. Very unique gimmick. Deonna Purrazzo and Lady Frost got a lot of time in this one. Deonna ended up getting the win, but Thunder Rosa came after her. And then Deonna escaped from the crowd. I could get on board for that being a pre-show match for Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Majin said Castle looked so naked without his boys. He did. He looked weird without the boys at his side because they got released at AEW last month. We saw Brian Keith go over JD Drake. Good to see Brian Keith get a win. That was a fine match. Definitely a Rampage match.
Wait. You say fine match?
It's a fine match for, Rampage. I mean, it was just, JD Drake.
Well, I used to like, I saw some highlights from this, and I'm like, man, I really like that guy. But after watching the highlights of this match, he was shit. He was really shit.
He was bad night for JD Drake, but maybe I was.
It was.
I guess I was talking more for Brian Keith. Stephen Chambers, fine. Larry the Cable Guy lookalike JD Drake, get her done.
He was bad. He was bad. I'm sorry.
Our main event was packed against Johnny TV, who the man of a million names, and his wife, Taya Valkyrie, was there alongside him on ringside. But we all knew who was going to win this match. It was going to be Pac. And Pac ended up putting Johnny in stretch until he tapped out. So Johnny TV taps out the Pac. And that was the end of AEW content on television for the week.
It was an okay week. Okay week.
Majin with comment here. Forgot to say shout out to John Silver for getting pegged last week in Winnipeg. He said he said it himself. I missed that. Must have been on being the dark order or whatever.
Sure.
I missed it. I'm guessing that's what it was on.
So, missed that one too.
Yeah. I don't tune in every week anymore to that show. Except I did see the Bucks made an appearance and made them censor out their faces.
They did? This week.
Since they're the EVPs. It said, you don't have our permission to show us on camera, on YouTube. It was pretty good. So, and it was. Okay. That's why I did not see that. Okay. All right, Shep. What was your show of the week and what was your rating?
I'm going Dynamite. And I'm going 7-4.
7-4. I'm going Dynamite. I said this week's was better than last week's. And last week's, I think I gave a 7-7. So I got to go a little higher. I'm going to go 7-9. I don't think it was quite in the eights, but it was a good show.
I mean, you get in the eights. That's a big deal.
So good show. Wrestler of the week. I'll let you go first.
Man. I'm going to go in a losing effort. I'm going to go the new Dynamite Kid.
Wow, you went for Dax the Axe opponent.
As much as I love Dax, and I thought that was that might have been my favorite match of the week.
Yeah, it was a good one.
But I appreciate, you know, what that guy did. So he's my wrestler of the week.
I got to go Cope. I've taken him before, but my favorite match of the week was him and Brody King, and I thought he and Kyle O'Reilly was pretty good too. And I'm real intrigued with him against Malakai at Double or Nothing in this barbed wire steel cage match.
So what do you take with him after with O'Reilly and all of a sudden turns at the end there?
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden he has a glitch, right?
Yeah. Malakai's got a little spell on him, something.
That's what you think it is?
Well, not spell. He Malakai's bringing out his dark side. Cope's crazy dark side, which we know. I mean, look at his Rated R Superstar days in WWE. He had some crazy hardcore matches with Mick Foley at WrestleMania 22. I mean, he can go there. So it's gonna be fun. I'm not showing my cards, quote unquote, for my prediction yet.
But, oh, easy there, cowboy.
I mean, I am the reigning, defending, undisputed KOP predictions champion since September.
One match.
It was one match.
One match.
It was one match.
And who was it again?
It was the For the World Champion, the Learning Tree.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Oh, that's why I hate him even more. Anyways, let's keep it PG, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're way past that.
I kept it PG a couple hours ago. Way past
that. But I'm trying to think if there's any AEW news that happened this week that we need to discuss. Let's see here. I did see Sammy Guevara is not suspended anymore, but there's no creative for him right now. So
yeah, then I saw his wife was back in the ring training.
Saw that too. Also saw one of her body parts. I'm not complaining. Just said I saw
it. I mean, she posts that shit, so
she did. Yeah, Majin, go ahead. I feel bad. I cut you off last week when you wanted to say whatever you wanted to say about Cody Rhodes. So go ahead and let us have it here in the comments because I cut you off last week. Yeah, Moxley doing a lot of stuff in New Japan. I don't know if we're going to see him on the Double or Nothing card. What else we got?
No, here? but what do you do with Moxley on the Forbidden Door card being the New Japan heavyweight champion? How do you place him in there?
That's a great question.
Do you put him versus Swerve? Just an all-out banger?
That would be, but yeah, why not? Because when it comes to Forbidden Door, storylines don't matter.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I'm so out of tune with New Japan though anymore. Like when they make the card, I barely have heard of any of these guys because AEW steals all their good talent anymore.
It does. With this new guy, Gabe Kidd, I feel like he's taking over for a Will Ospreay. But he's definitely going to be on that card. So,
and you know, there was a report that Forbidden Door is also going to feature CMLL and Stardom this year too, not just New Japan. So, there you all kinds of talent.
Perfect.
Majin here with the most trusted source, Fightful. I like that, coming out and saying WWE had no plans for Cody Rhodes going forward. Thank you for ultimately proving Paul and my worries correct. We were worried they'd have nothing. Nothing for him, and look, they don't. Also, how can you? You had a full year to plan. Yeah, my worry was Cody would be booked as champion compared to how he was as the chaser.
Majin's a little pissed with all the capitals.
Oh, he's getting his point across.
Yes. And I'm just laughing because I see Al Snow over your shoulder and
yes.
Head. It's head. Oh, well, That's Raven. That's Raven. Sandman. Yeah, before that it was Al Snow and Head, by the way.
Just showing some classic ECW highlights behind me. That's what they're doing.
I agree with Majin for some of the part, like they didn't have him plan moving forward, but so far I think they booked him really well. I love the match with him and AJ. Okay. Thought it was a great match. And now we're going to get him and Logan Paul. Look, he's going to go over Logan Paul.
He will. But no, I hope he does. I hope it's like a screwy finish. Nobody wins because I don't want him to be a double champion. It's for the U.S. title and the Universal title.
No, I want him to be a double champion.
No. And I love Cody, but no.
Why not?
It's just. I don't think they do that because SummerSlam's in Cleveland. Logan Paul's from Cleveland. They want to keep that title on him for that event.
No. Yes. You do. Wasn't it somebody said that he would be a Grand Slam champion, right? If he won the.
Yeah, he said that. He said that. That's the only title he hasn't held.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're putting him in line. Yeah.
Well, it's a weird feud, but it makes sense because Logan Paul gets publicity, you like him or not, on his podcast and everything. So he's gonna get a lot of eyeballs on this match. So
which Cody was on his podcast.
Mm-hmm. They're friends. I mean, they're good friends, but and Logan held his own and more on the mic the other night. He kind of stole the show on the mic over Cody, I thought. So Majin Shep, they can barely book Cody correctly as the world champ. You want them to fuck him up as US champ too? Sean Singh. I think they're going to have Cody hold this title for a while. I mean, at least till SummerSlam, probably even way longer than that. And they got to figure out some stuff for him because you got, before SummerSlam, you got this Saudi event. Then you got Clash at the Castle, which he's probably not going to main event that. That's probably going to be McIntyre if he's back and CM Punk if he's back. That's probably how main event is that. Then you got Money in the Bank in Toronto, then SummerSlam in Cleveland. So it's kind of like, AEW is doing a better job with the filler feuds for Swerve already than WWE is for Cody. And I'm a big Cody guy, but I agree. I was worried how they'd handle him as champion. So far, it's cause for concern. But time will tell. Time will tell. So, all right. Well, I am going to, unless you got anything else, Shep, I think we're going to wrap a little earlier than normal this week.
I don't. You got a flight to catch in the morning.
I got an early flight to catch for work in the morning. So, I'm not looking forward to getting up early, but duty calls. You got to do what you got to do. So, but we'll be back next week. Hopefully full crew, myself, Shep, and Paul. It hasn't been a three-man. I mean, I know it was a three-man band, no pun intended, last week, but it hasn't been besides last week for a while. So hopefully, we'll be back next week. One more comment. Majin, I hate that I'm agreeing with Bully Ray here, but part of the problem with Cody's not having anything is you can have a guy as champion or the guy as champion. Cody's a champ, but he ain't the guy. Yeah, he sells more merch than anybody in the company, but they could book him right now a little better. They could book him right now a little better. I agree with that. And I think I lost Shep again. So, this would be a good time to wrap it up, I suppose. I'm Tanner Lee. You can follow me at Tanner Lee 92 on all social media platforms. You can follow Shep at the Shep 27. You can follow Paul at Paul Zartman 921. You can follow Kicking Out Podcast on all the socials at Kicking Out Pod. And if you're listening to this on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us that 5-star rating and review. And go buy some merch at kickingoutshop.com. With that said, we'll be back next week, same time, to kick out yet another podcast. Have a great week, everybody.